The Catholics of Oz is brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network and is made possible by our many generous patrons. If you'd like to support the podcast, please visit sqpn.com/give.
You're listening to episode 42 of The Catholics of Oz. The Catholics of Oz is a show where we discuss faith, culture, and what's been happening from an Aussie perspective. Whether it's synods or science, apostolates and apps, providence or productivity, you can hear it right now on The Catholics of Oz. Hello, I'm Lindsay Sands and welcome to episode 42 of The Catholics of Oz. Very happy to have you joining us. And as always, I'm joined by my wonderful sister, Caroline Knight. Caroline, how are you going today?
Well, thanks, Lindsay. Thank you.
Now, Caroline and I are very, very excited because we have a very special guest today. We'd like to welcome all the way from the United States. It's evening for him and morning for us, but Father Donald Calloway. How are you, Father?
I'm doing really good considering the year 2020. It's been crazy.
What a year it's been. Yes. Yeah, we, Caroline and I, we're in the state of Victoria in Australia. We're currently under stage 4 lockdown. There are signs of hope that we'll be coming out of it very soon. But what's the situation like where you are?
It's not as bad as you are. I've actually read things about where you live, so I'm like, wow, that's pretty hardcore.
Yeah.
We're not doing great, but we're not as severe as you are at the moment. But as you probably just heard, President Trump and his wife just came down with COVID. Yes. So I don't know. This year is just getting crazier by the day.
just when you thought it couldn't get any stranger. Right. Hear that. We'll be praying for him and everyone who's been affected by this virus. It's I can't believe how high it's reached as well. So we hope that that he and everyone has a speedy recovery for that. Yep. So for today's show, we wanted to get to know you. We wanted to talk about this great new book. Not new, is it? It's been out for a little while now, but
right.
But we wanted to introduce people who haven't heard about this book. This very important book, I would say, just based on some of the research that Caroline and I have been doing on what you've done. We want to share this with our audience today. But just before we begin, I'd just like to remind our audience that to please subscribe to The Catholics of Oz on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, your favorite podcast app. And please don't forget that the StarQuest Network puts all of its shows on YouTube as well. You can listen to them there. So SQPN on YouTube, and then hit the bell to get notifications when this show and other shows are released as well. Also, please leave us a lovely 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or your other podcast directories that you listen on, because this helps us to reach more people, and growing our community and connecting with other people is what we're all about. So Father, before we begin, Caroline wanted to share an anecdote, a little connection that we have with you already. So Caroline, take it away.
So we've heard you mention Malta a few times in your YouTube videos. So Lindsay and I are actually Maltese. I was born there, and Lindsay missed out being born in Malta by about a year or so before our parents decided to make the big move over to Australia. And we've heard you talk about Don George Praeger, the saint of Malta. We were, obviously excited about his canonization, and we learned about him being the author of the Luminous Mysteries, and about in your talks about the rosary and it being a weapon. We know that about Malta, that we've used the rosary as a weapon many times, of course, during the Great Siege and even World War II. And our own grandparents were always praying the rosary. So we just wanted to point that connection out to you.
I love it. I have to tell you, I love Malta. I was privileged to go there last year and I loved it. My mother went with me, and then we gave a talk, and then a whole bunch of pilgrims came after and joined us. We were there for 10 days, and I loved it because it's an island. I love islands, and it was just so beautiful. The people were great, and their love for St. Joseph is off the charts. They really love St. Joseph, and so I want to go back at some point after all this craziness. I want to go again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Oh, that, yeah, no, that's really cool. Yeah, awesome.
All right. So Father, just for any of our listeners who aren't familiar with you at all, who may not have heard of you and your ministry and everything that you do, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, what you're doing these days and what your main ministry is?
Right. So just the background, because, you know, I've been to Australia once. I was there for about 3 weeks speaking and surfing. It was awesome. it was fantastic. Loved it. I wasn't raised Catholic. I wasn't raised any kind of Christian church whatsoever. And I came from a very difficult background with my family. And I got into drugs and immoral activity and all that stuff, dropped out of school and ended up living in Japan because my third father was a military officer. I caused a lot of problems, got kicked out of the country of Japan, came back to the United States and went to 2 drug and alcohol rehabilitation centers. I went to jail. I had long hair all the way down to my belt. You know, I was a pretty wild guy. But through all that craziness, my parents had a radical conversion to Catholicism. And I thought they joined a cult, right? I had no idea what my parents had done. I was like, what? You did what? They said, we've become Catholic. I was like, oh, no, you know, I had no idea. But it didn't take too long. It took about 3 years. My mother was praying so many rosaries for me, her son. And I had my radical conversion where God just hammered me with the truth. And I fell madly in love with Jesus Christ, with the Blessed Virgin Mary and all the things of the Catholic Church. And I became Catholic myself. And then I discerned my vocation to be a priest, which was a miracle. Trust me, I'm the last person I ever thought would be a priest, you know, a Catholic priest. And then I studied for 10 years and I was ordained a priest in 2003. So I've been a priest for 17 years now. Hey. And it's amazing. Praise God for his mercy and love.
Yeah, that's amazing. I remember, it must have been 10, 11 years ago that I was actually with a friend, you know, we were just hanging out and he goes, oh, I've got this video of this priest and I was going to watch it. Do you want to watch it with me? I thought, oh, yeah, we'll watch it. I watched it. It was amazing. It was you. It was this powerful testimony that you mentioned. Then I forgot all about it. You know, not that it wasn't important, but, you know, time passed on. And then when your name came up again, I made the connections. Oh, my gosh, that's the priest whose testimony. Your message is and your story is amazing because it's not the typical route that we hear of people who become Catholic and then become Catholic priests generally. For people who might relate, who are in the lowest points in their life, who are in a very low point maybe, what would you say is the message of your life story, your testimony for them?
Yeah, I guess the key words would be mercy and hope, because I meet a lot of people that have even done worse things that I did, right? Mm. And I always tell them, look, you're not the exception to the cross. God is madly in love with you. He wants you. And we all do stupid things. We're all messed up. You know, nobody's perfect except Jesus and Mary. And so we all need, you know, a lot of compassion, a lot of mercy. And that's there for us. And that gives us hope because, you know, the times right now, especially that we're living in, a lot of people are unemployed. They're without work. They don't know how they're going to pay the bills. They have anxiety about how am I going to feed my family and all those questions. And those are serious issues right now. And so I think that Jesus gives us that great hope and mercy that the human heart longs for, because we all need it. It doesn't matter who we are. We need Jesus.
Yeah. So we want to talk about this wonderful book. So I've only actually just read a preview of it, and I already want to actually get it myself a copy. So I'm going to be ordering that very soon. She's already ahead of me. So,
it's amazing. Yeah.
See, brothers and sisters are always competitive, so she's
got her. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I have to one up him. I'm the older one.
So. Awesome.
Before we talk about your book, I just thought I might share a quick anecdote with you as well. Just by coincidence or providence, whatever you want to call it. We've been in 2 lockdowns. So we had stage 3 lockdown, which was in March, and it went for I think about 2 or 3 months from memory. Then there was these signs of hope where we were emerging from it, and then things went south again and we're in this second wave, which we're just about out of now. But when the first wave began in Victoria, The Archbishop of Melbourne, of the diocese, the archdiocese that we're in, Archbishop Peter Comensoli, who just have to mention he was a guest on the show, when the stage three restrictions were announced, and you know, we all saw how serious this was going to be for us, including not being able to access Mass and the sacraments in the way that we're used to, he actually, it was actually on the feast day of St. Joseph in March. So he immediately placed the archdiocese under St. Joseph's protection, and gave us all a prayer for the protection of St. Joseph to follow. And he's actually asked Catholics to continue praying that right until we're out of this COVID crisis. So I just thought it's an interesting link that we have, that, you know, that we've had this, that he's recognized the power of St. Joseph just as you're trying to promote as well.
Yeah. That's awesome. And that, to me, that just says that the Holy Spirit is behind all this, because I've heard similar stories in other countries where there's just a big kind of emphasis and importance of St. Joseph being emphasized right now around the world. And I've done my part with the book, right? But I've been contacted by people in South Africa, Indonesia, and their stuff is happening right now. It's like the Holy Spirit is speaking to people saying, St. Joseph, St. Joseph, go to Joseph. So you just confirmed it again. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can add that one to your arsenal as well, if you want more proof that St. Joseph is becoming really important and prominent at the moment. Yeah. So Caroline, do you want to get this next part, get some myth busting started for us?
Yeah. So we're going to be talking about your book that you published earlier this year called Consecration to St. Joseph, Wonders of Our Spiritual Father. So it's clear you've done a lot of research into St. Joseph before you, more than I've heard of before, which is amazing. I've really been enjoying learning all these, things about him that I didn't know, or, having a different perspective on St. Joseph and you really bringing him out to the front where he needs to, he belongs there with Our Lady and Jesus. So as part of the, the beautiful Holy Family. So so we'd love to do some myth busting, with you. So we're going to state some of the common things said about St. Joseph, the typical Catholic, things that we think about St. Joseph. And maybe you can set the record straight for us on a few of these.
Sure. I'll do my best. Absolutely. Awesome. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right, so I'll throw the first one at you now. Just this is like baseball. I'm going to throw the ball up in the air and you just whack it as hard as you want. First of all, one of the common things that runs around in Catholic circles is St. Joseph wasn't betrothed or married to Mary when she was pregnant with Jesus.
Right. Yeah, that is definitely a myth. That is not true. They were in a marriage. And, today, marriage is a little different in how it takes shape in most cultures. But at the time, 2000 years ago in Judaism, there were two phases to the marriage. So today we would call it like being engaged and then married. But back then there really wasn't an engagement. There were two phases. So you got married, and so you were married, but you didn't live together until a certain period of time. But you were already married, it's just you weren't living together yet. So when the angel came to Our Lady, they were already married. It's just they weren't living together yet. So a lot of people have said, she was an unwed mother when that happened. I'm like, no, that's not true. And all the saints, talk about that no, they were, in fact, already married. So, yeah, that's a good one to clear up. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, cool. So I'm going to show you this. The listeners can't see, but this is a picture of October in my Columban calendar, and it's depicting the betrothal of Our Lady and Joseph. And Our Lady is looking beautiful, radiant, newly pregnant, young, beautiful young mother-to-be. And St. Joseph's looking a bit withered, old, wrinkled, his head's bald, but he's got a bit of tuft of hair out the front and a little bit out the back.
Right.
So that's the typical image that we think of with St. Joseph. Also, a popular belief says that he was already widowed and had children from a previous marriage when he was married. When he was married to Mary. So can you clear that one up for us?
Yeah, so all right, so there's two things there, basically, and they're both myths, okay? So what it is a lot of people, and even myself, when I became Catholic, most of the images that I saw of St. Joseph did depict him as like the grandpa of Jesus. Yeah, he was like, yeah, he was like 90 years old in the background about to die. I'm like, dang, you know, wow. So even I was like, is that really what he was like? Was he that old? And the Catholic Church has never taught that St. Joseph was old, nor has the Catholic Church ever taught that he was in a previous marriage and his wife died or something, and he was a widow and they had children and he brought those children into his marriage with Mary. The Catholic Church has never taught that. Those ideas come from what's called apocryphal literature. So after, you know, the church was founded by our Lord and the New Testament was written and codified, what we call canonized, the official books, other people were trying like, hey, we don't have much about the early life. Let's like come up with some stuff, you know, and try and fill it in. And then they were like, we don't have much about Joseph. Let's depict him as well. So well-intentioned, but misguided because it wasn't inspired, you know. And they said, and rightly so, well, we really need to defend the virginity of Mary, which is true. We always need to do that. Mm. But what they ended up doing was saying, well, in order to defend it, let's make St. Joseph really old, because an old man, his passions are dead. He's dead. He has no desire, you know, in a young, beautiful wife. He's about to croak. So, but that's not good, because what it did was it really pushed St. Joseph to be not that important in the eyes of, you know, a lot of people. It's actually more virtuous if you're a young man and practice chastity, especially when you're married to the most beautiful woman who ever lived, right? Mm. So that's the reality of that. He was not old. Matter of fact, he had to be younger, probably not the same age as Mary. He was probably older than her, but not like grandpa old, you know, because he was a laborer. He was a carpenter. He worked with stone and he walked a lot. And then that whole issue of, was he a widow? No, the Catholic Church has never taught that, because it's not true. Again, they were trying to, so in the New Testament, there's a passage or two where it says the brothers and sisters of Jesus, right? Mm. So a lot of people were like, yeah, we don't know what to do with that. We know that Mary and Joseph did not engage in marital relations because of that unique dignity in that marriage and all that. So, what do we do here? So they said, we know, we'll say he was widowed and those were children he brought in from a previous marriage. Yeah, that answers it. But it doesn't. Because, you know, in the ancient languages, there was no word for cousins. And so they simply would use brothers and sisters to talk about all relatives, like they do in a lot of languages today. You know, in certain cultures in Africa, in Asia, they still talk that way. Even in Hawaii, they refer to everybody as their brothers and sisters, but they're actually not your brother and sister. They're your cousins. So that's what they're talking about in the New Testament. So no, St. Joseph was not married before. He didn't have children. Catholic Church has never taught that. As a matter of fact, saints and a few popes have actually taught that St. Joseph himself was a virgin. Mm. And it just makes sense, right? If you're gonna give to the Blessed Virgin Mary and you're going to entrust into the hands of a man the training of your divine son, Jesus Christ, who's God, aren't you going to give him to like a man who's perfect in every way? I mean, you know, so there's a big, strong tradition that he was actually a virgin himself.
Right. Okay. Now, I'm going to shield myself from your wrath here, because I know you get very passionate about this one. So here we go. So I'm going to use air quotes here that our listeners can't see, but here's the third one. Saint Joseph plans to divorce Mary.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Okay. Wow. Do you have about 2 hours here?
Let's go.
Yes. So that is also a common misconception. It's a misunderstanding of this word that's used in Greek. The word can be translated as divorce. It can. It all depends upon the context in which it appears. So when we read that in the passage in the New Testament, in a lot of other languages, they don't translate it as divorce. So like in a lot of the Italian translations and the one that they actually read at the Vatican, it doesn't say divorce. What it says is he wanted to separate himself from or distance himself from. And there's a huge difference there between divorce and separation or distancing. And why? What would the difference be? Well, St. Joseph being so holy and attuned to the Holy Spirit, though he's not perfect like Jesus and Mary, he's not God, and Mary's not God either, of course, But he's also not an Immaculate Conception. You know, Our Lady is free from all sin. St. Joseph was not, though we believe he was sanctified in the womb, but he's not another Immaculate Conception. Mm-hmm. So he's super attuned to the Holy Spirit. He knows that he is encountering such an incredible mystery that he was aware of the prophecy of Isaiah that a virgin would bring forth a son, the Messiah of the world, the Savior of the world. He knew these things. He was not an ignorant man. And so he encountered the Ark of the Covenant in his wife and was so in awe, knowing that the divine presence was inside her, that he wanted to distance himself out of reverence, like David did with the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament.
Right.
And he sent the Ark away for 3 months. Isn't that fascinating that that right after that in the New Testament, when he encounters this mystery, Mary goes to her cousin Elizabeth for 3 months. The Ark bearing the presence of God goes for 3 months. All that typology of the Old Testament gets perfectly fulfilled in the Holy Family. And so that's what we're dealing with here. And so I cover that issue in greater detail, quoting saints and popes and mystics and all of that, because it's something that needs to be addressed today, because St. Joseph did not want to divorce the Blessed Virgin Mary. That is not true.
Yeah, it makes sense. Thank you for clearing those up for us. Makes more sense when you put it, you know, put it all that way for us.
I think we can give Father 3 out of 3 for that one.
I think so. Yeah. Amazing. Thank you. So let's go into talking about your book a little bit now. So your book talks about the need for St. Joseph in our time. I mean, we're living in an amazingly crazy time at the moment. So many things going on. Can you tell us a bit about why we need a renewed focus on St. Joseph now?
Yeah. So when I kind of was inspired with this idea about 4 years ago, you know, a lot of people are coming up to me as a priest and they're telling me about their problems in their marriage, in their families. And I was hearing this every day, and I was like, what do we do? I mean, things are so bad. And in the United States, I don't know about in Australia, but I can imagine it's probably similar. I mean, we have 52% of families in the United States do not have a father right now. Mm-hmm. So more than half of families do not have a father. That the consequences of that for society are going to be bad. I mean, really bad. And so we're seeing this played out, and there's gender ideology today as well. People are confused about what it means to be a man, what it means to be a woman. People actually think that it's fine if two men get married today, right? I mean, we've lost our minds. Or two women get married. We've redefined marriage today in many, if not most, societies. So at a time like this, when there's so much confusion about that, I think that we need to get back to the basics, and we need to turn to the model of manhood, of fatherhood, of what it means to be a husband, a protector, a provider, a defender. Because sadly, a lot of people today are confused about what it means to be a man. And as soon as a man tries to act out in some traditional sense of masculinity, the culture says, that's toxic. I'm offended, right? Everybody's offended today. So, you know, like me growing a beard probably triggers some feminist somewhere, right? Like everybody's offended today. It's crazy. So we've got to look, we're not talking about an oppressive man who's an ogre and, you know, a caveman and hurts people emotionally, physically, or worse. We need to recapture what it really means to be a man who is strong and who can swing an axe, right? But also who's gentle, compassionate, loving, sacrificial, willing to die for his family. And what better man to look to than St. Joseph? And so that's what I've tried to recapture for everybody. But I did not anticipate, of course, that we would go into a worldwide plague of the coronavirus, basically, and everybody would be locked up and lose their jobs and all this crazy. But again, the Holy Spirit knew. And so what is St. Joseph also? The patron of workers. He's, you know, the health of the sick. He's the hope of the dying. He's the terror of demons. All these titles in his litany right now are perfect for us. It's unbelievable how perfectly timed this consecration is.
Yeah, that's amazing. I've got to say that before I did listen to a couple of your talks about St. Joseph online before we got to this point of talking to you. So before listening to those talks, St. Joseph, great. You know, Caroline and I go to a parish called Holy Family Parish, so he's, you know, he's part of the story. You know, we know the basic things about St. Joseph, but not necessarily the depth that you've gone into. And I think you've convinced us that we probably need to have a second look at St. Joseph, and your book has done that too. So everything that you've said so far tells me that, like, that what we're looking for is this person who can cut through the confusion of today, the craziness of today, and give us that clarity again. And your book, in looking at what I've been able to preview so far, it's a program. It's a step-by-step to follow. Now, and the end goal really is for us to consecrate ourselves to St. Joseph. So I wanted to talk to you about knowing St. Joseph. We're talking about something a lot deeper than that. Now, I could right now consecrate myself to St. Joseph without reading your book, but I'm sure there's a reason why it would be good for me to be patient and go through the 33 days before I get to the point of making that decision. So can you explain to me why, or explain to our listeners too, why it'd be good to take some time to go through your book before we make the decision to consecrate ourselves to St. Joseph?
Yeah, so basically there's an old axiom that you can't love what you don't know. So in order to know, you really need to kind of do some research on your own, or if somebody's already done the work for you, just read what they wrote, right? So that's what I did. Basically, I spent 3 years doing all the research around the world, gathering everything that I could on St. Joseph. And that was not an easy task, because in the New Testament, we don't have one word from him, right? So a lot of people said, Father Calloway, are you just making this stuff up? You know, how did you come up with this information? So I said, well, we've got in the Catholic Church, we've got scripture and tradition, and we've got a whole mystical tradition. We've got saints, we've got mystics, we've got apparitions, we've got shrines, we've got religious communities, we've got what the popes have said. And this is really amazing stuff. And when you put it all together, you can come up with a pretty good idea of who St. Joseph is and why we should love him like Jesus did. I mean, think about it. In the Gospel of Luke, it says that Jesus, as a little boy, he grew in wisdom and stature before God and man under the watchful care of Mary and Joseph.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if he was good enough for Jesus, he's good enough for us. And so I think that people, if it was only a 5-day program, for example, it'd be really quick and you'd be like done with it in no time. Yeah. If it's 90 days, you're going to be like, Father, you're killing me. But like 1 month, I mean, that's a pretty good time frame. And I wanted it to be parallel to this guy named St. Louis de Montfort, who came up with a Marian consecration that takes 33 days. And so I thought, I'm not going to reinvent the wheel. I'll just use his kind of model, but for St. Joseph. And it's come together really, really nicely.
Yeah. Just on a personal note, before we get to the next question, I just finished writing an essay. It took me 2 weeks to research and write, and it drove me bananas. How did you stay patient for 3 years to get this work completed?
Oh, it was not easy. Trust me. Yeah. And there were times, like the first 6 months, I came up with a whole different schematic of how I wanted the book to go. And then I realized I came to a dead end and I was like, this is horrible. I'm like, this is horrible. And I crumpled it up like old school, but on my computer, I was just like, delete. I'm like, that's terrible. So I had to kind of start from scratch. And that's when I believe the Holy Spirit gave me the skeleton of the book was to use the litany of St. Joseph, which there's almost 33 titles. So I'm like, perfect. That'll be perfect. So yeah, so a lot of patience, brother. A lot of patience.
Yeah, amazing.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, congratulations for getting to this point and for providing us with such a beautiful resource. Like I said, I'm really looking forward to getting into this myself. Before I do that, Caroline, over to you.
I just wanted to say too, I can't wait to get my copy. And I think the people in our family who don't buy a copy will be getting a copy for Christmas. So. Nice. Especially our men, yes. Yeah. All right, so can you tell us about the artwork that you had commissioned of St. Joseph? I love those beautiful pictures, I have to tell you. And I know you had one of them painted by a Maltese artist. Obviously, I have to throw that in there, which I'm immensely proud of. Yep. What were you hoping to convey about St. Joseph in these images?
Right. So I actually had two Maltese artists paint for me.
Okay.
Yeah, because after I went to Malta last year, there's a couple guys there that are like, they're like the new, you know, classical Michelangelos and stuff. Okay. They're incredible. So, you know, I wanted images of St. Joseph to be in the book. But again, as we talked about earlier, when I looked at a lot of art in the past, I'm like, he's like dead. I mean, he's like, he's horrible, right? Or he's just like in the shadows. You can barely see him. So I'm like, all right, we got to fix that. So I commissioned 10 artists around the world to paint images that depict St. Joseph as masculine, strong, young, at least younger than he's been depicted, and not effeminate. I hate to say it, but sometimes the images of him have even appeared like soft and girly. I'm like, what's up with that, right? So I was like, well, he's got to be a certain way. And I wanted some of them to even show him holding an axe, you know, because, I mean, he worked with wood, so he would have had an axe. And, yeah, they're just awesome. I mean, these images, and you can buy these images, even if you're in Australia, there's a website you can go to. It's in Canada. It's called sunrisemarian.com or .org, Sunrise Marian. You can get them shipped there. They're powerful. Like, oh my gracious. There's even people that are talking about now wanting to get them for churches and wanting to make sculptures that are similar to that. Because how awesome would it be to go into a Catholic church and see an image of St. Joseph where he's just like the terror of demons, you know what I mean? Like, that's awesome. And you guys are going to love this. So one of the Maltese artists I did, I had him paint an image of St. Joseph that has St. George Preca in it.
Ah, hey. Cool.
Yeah. And then also this other guy, I forget, I think he's called Blessed Falzone, something Falzone. I forget his full name. But they're both in that image. So you guys, when you see that, you're going to love it.
Oh, I'm going to have a look. I'm going to look for that one. Yeah, yeah.
Let's pause this podcast and make our orders right now.
Yes. Excuse me for a minute.
Oh, wonderful. Just another question I want to throw in. In some of your talks, you were mentioning that you are passionate about the call. You said the church needs a year of St. Joseph. And you even shared a story about how you wrote to the Pope about this. Could you tell us that story and tell us why a year of St. Joseph would be good for the church?
Oh, this is my dream. So, you know, so a couple of reasons. We've never had a year of St. Joseph in 2,000 years of Christianity. We've never had this. And we've had Marian years, which are awesome. We've had Year of Mercy, Year of Prayer, Year of all kinds of stuff. And they're all great. But we've never had a year of St. Joseph. And right now, in 2020, we're actually celebrating the 150th anniversary of when St. Joseph was declared the patron of the universal church. So that happened in 1870. So 2020, 150 years, it's perfect. Well, I was like, I'm a bold guy. So I'm like, I'm going to write the Pope. You know, I'm going to ask him, please, please do this for the church. So I wrote a letter in English, but the Pope doesn't really know English that well. Mm. So I had one of my brother priests who's from Argentina translate it into what I call churchy Spanish, you know, like he really did it really nice. And so then a bishop from Argentina took it to Rome and gave it to the Pope. And I have pictures of that exchange where they opened it and they're talking about the letter. And I'm like, that's my letter. That's my letter. So nothing's happened yet. And it doesn't matter if it's not this year, fine, maybe next year or the whatever. But the cool thing, and I would ask all the listeners, please do pray for that, though. I think it'd be extraordinary for the church. But in the United States, I wrote, as far as I know, every bishop asking them to do it in their diocese because they can do that in their diocese. And right now in the United States, 8 bishops have declared a year of St. Joseph for their diocese. Wow. Yeah. So they're having conferences and pilgrimages and talks, and it's awesome. So I'm so excited about that.
Yeah, that's wonderful. We'll just wait for your personal invite from Pope Francis to go to Rome and get this all sorted out. Hopefully that will be in the mail soon in English. Just another thing I wanted to, an anecdote I want to share with you as well. Another Australian connection to St. Joseph I was thinking about while you were talking. We have the Australian version of the Josephites here in Australia. It's a religious order that was started by our first Australian saint, and only at the moment, but first Australian saint, Blessed Mary MacKillop, or Mary of the Cross MacKillop, as we say. And so she started this religious order with another priest, Father Tennyson Woods, in 18, I'm going to say in the 1860s, I think it was, to provide education for poorer children who couldn't afford it. Father Tennyson Woods was inspired by St. Teresa of Avila's writings about St. Joseph, and hence that's how they became the Josephites. So we do have a strong religious order of St. Joseph nuns here in Australia as well. So there's another one for you to add. I'm sure they would add their voice to yours for a year of St. Joseph as well.
That's awesome. You know, I had heard that about St. Mary MacKillop, but I didn't know, and my book was already at the printers. So I'm like, oh man. So maybe in volume two. You know?
In another 3 years. And we're 3 years more research first. Yeah.
Right.
Excellent. All right. So we just wanted to finish up today by we really wanted to share your message and promote ways that people can find your ministry and St. Joseph. So have you got a couple of places online where people can do a bit more research about all of this?
Yeah. So there's basically three websites. The one for consecration to St. Joseph, that's the website, actually, consecrationtostjoseph.org. Mm-hmm. And then there's another one where you can find out about stuff that I do, my other books, pilgrimages that I lead. That's fathercalloway.com.
Yep.
And the really important one, I think, for people in Australia or, you know, people listening like from New Zealand as well, is Parousia. You can either pronounce it Parousia or Parousia. They're in Australia. They actually print the book Consecration to St. Joseph in Australia.
Excellent.
Yeah. So you don't have to like wait for it to come from the United States or whatever. You can get it right there in Australia. So please go to those and check it out.
Yeah. Excellent. So we'll put those links in our show notes as well to promote that for you as well. Now, we also do have listeners from around the world. So apart from Parousia Media, where else online could we, like, for example, is it Amazon? Is that your preferred? Is another preferred place you prefer people to go to?
Yeah, you can get it on Amazon in most places. And then remember that artwork, there's only one place where people can get that, and that's from the Canadian distributor. This is so confusing, I know, but it's like, wow, it really is an international thing. So you can get the artwork through that sunrisemarian.com. You can get the artwork. So, but yeah, Amazon is really good for the book around the world. I mean, that's everywhere.
Excellent. Well, I'll include Sunrise Marian in our show notes as well. It's good that we can actually order your book in Australia, because I've ordered the Word on Fire Bible, which I think is going to take me 10 years before I can actually read it. They'll finish all the series before it gets here, but yeah, so I'll be able to finish your book first.
Mine's only 33 days.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
A good plug, yeah. All right, so before we finish up today, we just wanted to take a quick moment to thank all of our patrons who make this show and all the other shows at SQPN possible. And today we wanted to thank Matthew S, Dan W, Joshua D, Nathan S, and Richard R. Because of their generous donations at sqpn.com/give, they make it possible for the Catholics of Oz and all of the other shows at StarQuest to continue. So you can join them by visiting sqpn.com/give. And also, please remember, your prayers are really important as well. We'd love to know your thoughts today. We've had this wonderful chat with Father Calloway. Have we cleared some things up about St. Joseph that you didn't know about? Do you have a devotion to St. Joseph? Have you read Father Calloway's book? We'd love to hear more about that and share that with our audience as well. So you can leave feedback by visiting us at facebook.com/StarQuestMedia. And don't forget that Catholics of Oz has its own Facebook page at facebook.com/Catholics of Oz, spelt O-Z, and where you can discuss our latest episodes. And you can also reach us by email at catholicsofoz@sqpn.com. Father, before we leave today, could we ask for your blessing on our audience, please?
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we ask you to pour down your graces and mercies upon all the listeners and viewers and their intentions during these difficult days. Take away any anxieties or fears. Give them hope. Give them peace, especially through the intercession of the great Saint Joseph. And I give this blessing in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you so much for that.
Thank you, Father.
Caroline, it's been great having you again on the show, so thank you very much.
Thank you, and thank you, Father, for being on the show with us today.
Thank you, my friends.
Yeah, Father, thank you. If you do ever manage to get to Australia again, we'll have to look you up and come and see some of your work. So thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, my friends. I hope to get back sooner rather than later because I'm getting old. I can't surf as well anymore.
Paddleboard, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent. And once again, I'm Lindsay Sand, and thank you very much for joining us for episode 42 of The Catholics of Oz on StarQuest.